Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, starting at verse 10. Much of the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry on earth, much of his ministry had to do with divine healing of the body, as well as ministering continually to the souls of men. And we have for a long time tried to maintain a well-balanced position in relation to this great subject. We have felt for many months, last 3 to 4 years, that there's a danger always, and as we mentioned in prayer meeting one night, there's a tremendous danger in misunderstanding the ministry of healing to the extent that where it becomes the central part of a person's ministry, and also where it's all out of proportion to the Word of God. So you have that extreme of those that really put too much of an emphasis on it and put it ahead of saving souls, which is the greatest thing in the world that can happen to anybody. And then to balance it, there's the other group that just plain failed to teach it. For fear of being extreme on the other side, they are very conservative to the extent of disobedience to the Scriptures. And so we seek to do what Proverbs 11:1 teaches, even in this subject, as we do any other subject. That is that a false balance is an abomination unto the Lord, but a just weight is delight in His sight. So we trust that we can make through the months and years, as long as God has us minister here, a well-balanced ministry all the way down the line, including divine healing. Now, I feel that there is much that could be taught on divine healing. Probably a person should teach it over a period of 4 to 5 months every week on one class alone, so that perhaps some people would begin to get an insight and a vision into the potential power of God in their life. And also by the same token, they would come into a realization of the binding power of Satan. Now, Luke's Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 10. And he was teaching. The Lord Jesus Christ had a teaching ministry. I'm just going to say this in passing this morning. I've said it before, I want to say it in passing, that many, many people do not want to be taught. We're living in a universe, in a Christian age, where we have an unteachable group of people to teach. I thank God for the response, for the humble, desiring spirit of the many here. But generally speaking, you're always going to have those that are unteachable. And usually the reason why they're unteachable is because they're not meek. And they're not humble. And they like to think that they know as much as the teacher knows, that they know as much as the other fellow. And so they will not listen, like the school child that always knows more than his teacher, etc. So it is that the Lord Jesus Christ had a teaching ministry, teaching definitions, doctrines, details, how to live the Christian life. He did it through a process of teaching, of repetition of principles. Somebody has said that Jesus Christ was the most repetitious preacher and teacher that ever lived on the universe, and that's right. Somebody said that Jesus Christ spent most of the New Testament telling stories on how to be saved and how people get healed, and that's right, too. Somebody else said that the Lord Jesus, if he was God, why was he so repetitious? And they said he was, and that's right, he was. But the reason was because he knew what was in the heart of man. And he knew that man, with all of his knowledge, with all of his understanding in the natural, could never comprehend or apply and make applicable these great spiritual lessons which are going to necessitate his life if he's going to go on to be with him in heaven. He knew that the average person, if they can't obey the gospel, then is completely off as far as ever growing in grace goes, because God will never give further light when the light he has revealed is not obeyed. So the Lord Jesus was very repetitious, and he had a teaching ministry. And this day he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And by the way, he went to church on the Sabbath day, which in the law, under the law, of course, was Saturday. Thank God now it's the Lord's day on Sunday, and we don't worship a dead Christ in the grave, nor an old law, but thank God we worship Christ in the spirit of the resurrection power. Thank God for spiritual people that can understand that great truth, because I think anyone that doesn't will never be anything but a legalist running around seeing nothing happen in their lives and being very blue in their Christian life. But thank God it's Sunday. Thank God that he went to church. and he taught. And there were people there. Now I want you to notice that, behold, there was a woman. I've always wondered why the Lord Jesus Christ didn't give the names of the many people that he healed. And then it came to me this morning at 7:31. He's never concerned about who I am, but he's always very concerned about what I am. Now, if he recorded who I was, then that would be a name down in history to be remembered. But he rather much explained what I am so that the life that he has lived in me can be understood by those that listen, and they might realize that it's the life of God in a person that makes me different, and it makes me have the faith that this woman here had in this chapter. So he never recorded the names of the lepers and the names of the many that came to him many, many times because he wasn't interested in having you know who they were. But he was interested in having you know what they were. They were people with tremendous faith. And that's exactly why I believe he omitted the names of these people. And that in itself is a tremendous blessing. Stop and think it over. Behold, there was a woman. He didn't tell her name. And the Lord Jesus Christ isn't interested in heroes or individuals that think that they've got something that anybody else hasn't got. Because I've always said that God never intended for somebody to be up here and somebody to be down there. I've always said that I never know why they have platforms unless it's so everybody can see the speaker. Because God is no respecter of persons. I'll repeat that frequently to let you know that no matter what the race, the color, the creed, the education, the background, the sin was, the Lord Jesus is madly, desperately in love with everybody that receives himself, and he looks at them as being equal. So, that's the reason he isn't interested in naming names, but just tell us what these people did. Now, this woman had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Because it's so late, I can't go into types. I had some beautiful types in this lesson that God revealed to me, but I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm going to have to save it and probably preach it at a later date, the same chapter. But this woman had an infirmity for 18 years. Now, I can see her this day coming into church. I believe I can. She's bowed down. Her face is to the dust. She's in bad shape as she stooped over. As she comes in a weak, frail, weary, tired, exhaustible way into the church of God, and she begins to sit down, and she's very tired, and she's weak. Her spine is bothered. Her nervous system is bad. Her optimism is poor. She's concerned about herself and about her troubles and about her pains and about her aches. She's been looking at the dust because she came to the dust, and she's going back there. She's been looking at the earth because she is of the earth, earthy. And this woman came in thinking about herself and her problems, and she was tired. For 18 years, the devil had her bound. But I noticed that God didn't say that she was in love. The Word of God doesn't say that she was possessed by the devil. I don't believe she was, and I base that upon one thing. Never in the Scriptures did the Lord Jesus ever touch anybody that was possessed by the devil. He never touched them with his hand. I made a study of that recently. Never did the Lord Jesus touch anybody that were possessed with the devil. He always spoke a word to those kind of people. Now, whenever he touched somebody, there was never any word of God that said that they were possessed with the devil. So this woman wasn't possessed with the devil. She, instead of that, she worshipped God. She went to church faithfully. I imagine she heard the scriptures about the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps from Isaiah 61:1, who proclaimed liberty to the captives and opened the prison doors to them that are bound. I imagine she'd said and she'd heard these scriptures many times. This day was just another day, perhaps, as she was walking into church, I don't know. I suppose that as she sat down and got ready to listen to the Word of God and listen to the Scriptures being read, I suppose to her, for she was worshiping God, she'd accepted her fate. Maybe she doubted the wisdom of the afflictions that had come her way. I don't know what was going on in her mind, but I know that something great was about to happen that day. 18 years she'd been afflicted, and 18 years she hadn't been able to stand up straight. 18 years her spine had bothered her, and she wasn't able to look at people, and she wasn't able to be free, to be liberated. 18 years she'd gone around with a back that was near the ground, and this day she was coming now in the house of God. This woman bowed down to the earth, sick with an affliction for 18 years.
I imagine that as she got in there sitting down, she didn't look very good. She wasn't very good to look at. She went to church. Cough didn't keep her out of church. A little headache didn't keep her from church. A little old problem didn't keep her from church. Tired night before, couldn't get up in the morning. No, sir, she went to church. She went to church, and she hadn't been healed for 18 years. God hadn't done anything particularly for her in the sense of physical healing. Maybe he had mistreated her, but she went to church. Yes, sir, she went to church. And I'll tell you that anybody that goes to the house of God when they're afflicted and remains faithful and exercises faith in the Lord Jesus, that kind of a person can expect to get something that this woman got. But that person that sneezes and whisks and stays away from church or prayer meeting and these important meetings when God is moving, when the Holy Spirit of God is manifesting His power in the hearts of people, when there's calls all over everywhere for the ministry to go forth with power everywhere, turning them down all the time, and there's a call for the people, for the music, there's a call for the testimonies, there's a call for your gifts, there's a call for your presence ministering all over Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, New England, New York State, down in Pennsylvania, some from Florida now, a call to go out and take this ministry. And yet some people aren't even interested enough in the moving of God so that they have a little cough or they're a little tired or some other business comes in the way, they stay away. I've wondered why some people don't grow more. And I've cried with God and I said, straighten them out, God. Give them a vision. Thank God for those that are getting the vision. Thank God for the tremendous victories being won in the past 2 months. Thank God for the victories in the last 8 months. But I wonder why that God, and I said, Lord Jesus, touch their hearts, open their eyes this morning. Liberate them from their bondage of indifference and callousness. They may be good, they may be kind, they may be good family people, but God, get them going for you. Break them loose today. And if that person sits in the pew this morning and hasn't really got right with God, set them free today. Right today, and you can do it. This woman came in bound to the earth. And everybody that hasn't received the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking, it's just like this woman. They're looking at the dust, they're looking at the earth, they're bowed down, and they've been hampered and cramped and in bondage, and the devil has been successful in crippling and paralyzing them spiritually, and they can't accept Jesus. I remember the story of Mr. Rulston out in Amsterdam when he gave his testimony. He said, I was a man, I guess, in his early 30s when one day somebody gave him a tract. And he read the tract in his living room and he threw it down. He had 3 brothers and 1 sister. Well, he couldn't go to his liberal church that day. He was a member of a liberal church that didn't preach the gospel. So he read the tract again. As he read the tract, God spoke to him and he threw it down. He read it again that day, the 3rd time, and God spoke to him and saved him. Then he called up his brother and he said, I read a tract and I got saved. And we met his brother. His brother is now a missionary to Thailand. His brother also read a tract and got saved after his 1st brother read a tract and got saved. And then as it went on, the other brother, Howard, read a tract, listened to a message on the radio, and he got saved. And God began to move just through somebody passing the tract. And to this day, Mr. Olson said they've never seen him since nor before. And out of that one little gospel tract in Amsterdam, New York, and we had dinner with these people, out of that one gospel tract, how Mr. Wilson and his wife, his brother and his wife, his other brother is a missionary in Thailand, his sister got saved, 8 people genuinely converted, givers, cheerful givers, prayer meeting goers, 8 people saved out of one gospel tract. You tell me it doesn't mean anything to pass out a gospel tract. You tell me that prayer doesn't mean something when we go out and serve God and give out His word. It means everything. And the problem is today is you don't realize the potential power you've got in the Lord Jesus. And you don't realize today what you've got if you just pray and do what He tells you. You haven't got that vision of God. You haven't got that vision of His power, of His ability to go out here and do something with His word alone and accomplishing what He exactly pleases to accomplish. May I say this morning? If you're sitting in the pews and you've never come through for God, you're playing with eternal fire. You're playing with eternal hell fire. And I'll tell you this, that if you don't really come clean and receive the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, confess Him publicly, repent of your sins, call upon Him by faith in His finished work, come just as you are, go out and get baptized and immersion afterwards and get right with God,
Come clean with Jesus and go all the way down the road, that narrow road that's going to lead to glory, so that you can sit down with him at the great supper and really be with all your family and the saints of God throughout the ages. Don't be like this couple, these people up here in Topsham this week. And as I went up to the lady and no one else was around, the screaming girl, and the blood was spurting through her mouth, from her eyes. She had third-degree burns all over, said over the radio, and as she has a fractured skull. And as she was, these two ladies, young girls, 21, I believe, and 22, and as they were there being tormented by this terrible accident, it was a terrible sight. Then the car burning with fire. And I thought, this is a picture of suffering humanity today. A fire in hell, a fire on earth going in their bosom because of sin. Bleeding, spiritually speaking, unconscious, dead to God, driving fast, going to hell by the thousands because they won't accept the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said today, if you confess your sins and call upon him, he'll save you. And if you're one of those people today that's indifferent to this, what I'm saying, you've said and heard this message a thousand times, you might be the next one in that accident. And God says there's a fire waiting for those that refuse Christ. And he'll send everybody to a place where he prepared for the devil and his angels. I didn't say that, the Lord did in Matthew 25:41. And God says, don't be a Pharisee, don't be a Sadducee nor a Herodian. But he said, whatever I say, you do it, John 2:5. He says in Matthew 23:3, but some say and never do. Listen, if you love Jesus, if you're born again, if you've been washed in the blood, get baptized in immersion, give up your sin, come out to the prayer meeting, get going for God in a constructive manner, put him where he should be. Well, this woman had this infirmity for 18 years. I want you to notice it carefully. She could in no wise lift up herself. I thought this morning that, oh, how they need deliverance. How they need deliverance, not only for their bodies, but for their soul. And as you look out over it, and as you talk and you walk, and you think of everybody dying every day, heading for the grave every day, all of the diseases, accidents, and all of these things that are going on, as you think of this, you think of the whole wide universe as just one mass of suffering. That's the condition here. This woman is suffering. I want you to notice the next verse, 12. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him. When Jesus saw her, this woman went to church with all her ailments, but Jesus Christ went to church with all his grace. In her ailment, in her bondage, in her captivity, come in contact with the person of Christ. I wish you could see this morning that as you sit in your pews and as you're in bondage and chained by corruption, perhaps your bodies need healing. Perhaps your minds need healing. Perhaps you need healing from habits. I don't know. Perhaps you need healing from yourself. Perhaps you're bowed down. This is today of undoing the works of the devil. In 1 John 3:8, the word of God says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now today, right here in this building, if we could get some faith, if we could get people to think only of Jesus and stop wandering in their minds, if we could get some believers in this meeting really going right now, we can see tremendous miracles happen right now. We can see there's no distance in prayer. We can see God untangle people that are away from here that you know about. We can see God untangle bodies that have been bound by Satan. We can see God let some of the minds go that are bound by the devil. We can see tremendous deliverance because Jesus is just the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's Hebrews 13:8. He's just the same. He hasn't changed. In Malachi 2:5, he said, I change not. And the Lord Jesus today wants to liberate. And I want you to know that as he saw her, Matthew 14:14, the word of God says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion and healed all of their sicknesses. When he saw the multitudes, it moved him with compassion and he healed all of their sicknesses. Every single one of them. He says, in fact, some of you people have an ass or an ox. Don't you water it? He said, some of you, if they ever get stuck in the mud, wouldn't you help to get them out? He said, don't you know that I don't enjoy seeing people sick? I don't enjoy seeing people afflicted. I don't enjoy seeing people overcome and overtaken by Satan. I don't like to see that. I don't want to see it. I'm not happy with that. And he said, unless it's for my glory, which in some cases it can be, but unless it's for my glory so that I can do a miracle, so I can manifest my life. I want to heal you. I don't want you to be bound by Satan. And he said, if you're good to animals, don't you think I want to be good to you? That's the principle of this lesson.
Do you think I want you to go around with that chest problem, with that migraine headache, with that nervous condition? Do you think I want you to go around with a repercussion and a reoccurrence of these same afflictions month after month? He said, I want to deliver you. He said, part of my ministry was healing the body as well as healing the soul and healing the mind. He said, I want to deliver you from every affliction this morning for Jesus' sake. And he said, if I don't, you'll know that the affliction is for my glory, or that I was chastising you until you get right. I want you to listen carefully to Luke 4:18. For the Spirit of the Lord was upon me, and he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captives, and recover the sight of the blind, and to preach liberty to them that are bruised. He said, I want to bring liberation. I want you to have liberty. He said, I'm passing by, that you might look upon me, behold me in faith, touch me, touch the hem of my garment. And he said, I have sympathy and compassion toward you. He said, I don't want you to go on the way you've been going on. I want you to be liberated, to be free, to go on as a servant that's happy, that has joy, that has some power. I want you to be able to lift up your hands and give me the glory and to walk out and show people what I've done for you. He said, I want to liberate you. You listen, beloved, you're in a religion of Christianity that Christ delivers people and sets them free. I don't want you to ever think this morning that there's one reason under heaven that God wants many of you bound by the devil. Some right here are bound by Satan. They're actually bound. As I get going this morning, this very message, I observed in this turn a tremendous resistance to the enemy. And the Lord pointed things out. And I want to tell you this, that the Lord Jesus doesn't want anybody to be bound. And on the other hand, Satan doesn't want anybody to be free. And Jesus is in the business of undoing what Satan has done. And he wants to let people free that are bound by the devil. This was a woman that was in the synagogue. She was a worshiper. He didn't rebuke her for immorality. But he told her that she'd been bound for 18 years by the enemy. Now, how did it happen? He said unto her, woman, thou art loosened from thine infirmity. Immediately, he said, you're set free. I want to deliver you from your affliction, from your infirmity. You're set free. You're loose and you can go. And immediately this woman began to stand up. She began to be straight. And that spine that had bothered her all of these years had been loosened and set straight. And she came in contact with Jesus Christ. She was immediately straight, glorified God. The Lord wants to do that this morning. He wants to make you straight, to set you free, to give you health, to give you peace, to give you power, to give you happiness, to give you a vision, to give you a joy, to give you an outlook, to give you optimism. He wants to go with you and take you with him as he walks down the lanes and cities and villages teaching and preaching the gospel. Now, I wonder this morning how many here are bound by the devil. I wonder how many bodies are bound by the devil. And again, I wonder how many minds are bound by the devil. I wonder how many find it a constant battle in church. This happened in church. I want you to notice that as he delivered her, she glorified God. And this is always the plan. And as we mentioned one night, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They overcome him by the word of their testimony. Let the Lord Jesus deliver you and then immediately testify of the power of the blood and be set free. Then I want you to notice quickly that the ruler of the synagogue, what did he do? Quickly. Because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. He said unto the people, thou art 6 days in which men ought to work. And them therefore come and be healed and not on the Sabbath. The Lord answered and said, thou hypocrite. Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead them to water? Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan is bound these 18 years, be loosed from this bond of the Sabbath on the Sabbath day? And these men were mad and they were angry, and then Jesus got angry. Here you had two people getting angry in church. They were concerned about the ceremonial law. They weren't concerned about Jesus Christ setting our humanity free that had been bound to the devil 18 years. They were more concerned about the letter of the ceremonial law on the Sabbath day.
And today you have thousands that aren't concerned about the souls that are getting saved. And they're not concerned about prayer. And they're not concerned about really getting rid of this thing called the New Testament church. They're not concerned about selling themselves out. They put themselves in their own little legalism, their own little laws by their own constitution ahead of the wonderful business of getting souls delivered from the powers of hell. And they're not just concerned enough for the Lord Jesus. The Bible teaches that Jesus said, "Thou hypocrite, you've heard the word of God. You've heard what Jesus has to say, and you're not concerned." He didn't waste any time. He got angry and righteous and soul with righteous indignation and holiness, and he said, "Thou hypocrite," immediately two people were angry in church. The Lord Jesus and a very religious person, the chief of the Pharisees and ruler of the synagogue. And then the Lord Jesus Christ teaches this tremendous truth, that if we're not concerned for humanity, then we're really not concerned about God. If we don't realize the truth of humanity, we don't realize the truth about God. If we don't love suffering humanity, not willing to serve them, then we don't love God and are not willing to serve them. The Lord Jesus teaches that as he passes by, that every single person in this building right now can get deliverance from whatever God would have them delivered from. And they can get total deliverance because the Bible's true and the power of Christ is available today. And he's just the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Word of God teaches that right now you can get satisfaction, because that's exactly what this woman got. Suffering, God's sympathy, God served her, and she got satisfied. You can get satisfied right now by getting delivered if you exercise faith.